Time for Vanessa and Gallant.
That sounds good. I'll have that.
Featuring Vanessa Richardson.
This is not a common opinion. This is not a popular opinion.
And Paul Gallant.
I think for the average person that sees me, they don't know that I'm a cat dad.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
So my co-host Paul almost never has his life together regardless, but today has been an exceptionally...
Well, there's no power here.
Tough morning.
This is outrageous.
Yeah.
I wanted to dress like a leprechaun to wear my St. Patrick's Day shirt. But there's no point, Vanessa, because there's no air conditioning in this building. There's no power. There's no lights. There's just us in this room.
Yeah, shout out to our boss, David Gow, for having a generator.
The only person, I guess, in the building with a generator. We both got here this morning and they were like, you guys need to leave. And I thought to myself, wait a second, but I have a radio show to do. Don't you know who I am? I'm F-list celebrity Paul Gallant. You do not tell me what to do. I walk in. I do what I want.
Noted leprechaun and Irishman, mm-hmm. Paul Gallant. Happy St. Pat's Day.
Happy St. Patty's Day to you. It's the day that St. Patrick kicked all the serpents out of Ireland. Were the serpents the British? I like to think so. I'm thinking it was actually the Romans. I could be wrong, but that's apparently what the day is all about. Instead, it has turned into a day of binge drinking, and I hope that you guys all have a wonderful day whenever you get out of the clock and back to, you know, home and bars. And
those are fun holidays, though. The holidays where the only thing that's required is that you get together with your friends and just have fun.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked about this Halloween, St. Patrick's Day.
Cinco de Mayo.
Yeah, that's always fun. AKA, we both like to drink.
Yes.
Deshaun Watson is torn.
Oh, my God.
Everybody cue the sad music. He can't decide where to go. Per Aaron Wilson, it's down to the Saints and the Falcons.
Okay.
Here's what we know about his meeting with the Saints. First of all, they met again with him last night.
Yes.
And owner Gail Benson was there. And as of this morning, they've cleared some cap space.
Mm-hmm.
The Falcons, though, were the only team, obviously, that's home. And mm-hmm. they were the only team where Deshaun actually went to that city instead of them coming here.
Okay.
So a little bit of that hometown flavor. So that's where things sit as of now. It seems like it is a race between the Saints and the Falcons. Now, does somebody come at the 11th hour with another offer? I think the Browns are out at this point. I'm not hearing much about that.
I don't know if
they were ever in to begin with, other than a bargaining chip. But it seems like it's the Saints and the Falcons.
Yep. And if it's the Saints and the Falcons, I would like it to be the Falcons, unless the Saints are really going to be willing to trade some of the good players that they have on their roster. But when you think about it, what would you rather have? Would you rather have the draft capital? Would you rather have the potential to build your team up in the future with where this team currently stands? Or instead, would you have some talented players that you know are good? I think the latter sounds fun. It would make the team more watchable. But I think the direction of this franchise is one that envisions a very, very long road back towards relevance. And the Falcons have more to offer you right now.
As far as draft picks.
Right.
Yeah.
And I also, you know, if there was a team that Deshaun Watson were to join between those two teams, the Saints are clearly the team that would be better, that would have a better draft pick should they give you a couple of first-round picks. Not just, I would say, this next season, but maybe two seasons from now, too. Like, I could see the Falcons being middling if they give you multiple first-round picks, as opposed to being, hey, right away, like New Orleans theoretically could be, maybe one of the top three seeds in the NFC or something like that.
I think it'll be fascinating to see the next couple of hours how it plays out. PFT saying, per source, Deshaun Watson is incredibly torn. He was impressed by the presentations from all four teams. They've made it very difficult for him to make a choice. There's no specific timetable for a decision.
It's so annoying, though, to hear that Deshaun Watson is torn.
Why?
It's annoying. I mean, look. Poor Deshaun Watson. All these tough decisions that he has to make. He gets to make this decision. It's not the Texans that get to make the final decision based off of everything we know. It's him. The no trade clause. Yada, yada, yada. But I just think that considering he's still facing 22 current civil suits and he gets to be torn about this, it's annoying. And on top of that, now I'm also imagining the 1997 hit song Torn by Natalie Imbruglia. It's been stuck in my head all day.
And
or
he's
Vanessa.
Not only that, he's been poorly singing it.
Oh, yeah. Because I don't know the actual words to it, but I've just been in the break room before the show while Vanessa wants to perhaps throw herself out the window,
yeah.
which would definitely be a lot cooler than in here. I have just been making noises like,
but you're not singing any words.
Fine.
You're like my dad in church where he's like, oh, Gloria. Like, he's well, at least not singing anything.
It sounds like he's singing in church there, sort of. He's saying Gloria. Fine, I'll say some words. How about this?
Okay.
I'm torn. Rusty Harden's great. Look at all these deals. Please don't shame me for things I did naked on massage tables. Allegedly.
You sound just like her.
Deshaun
Watson, yeah, he's torn. Can't decide, but it seems like it is down to the Saints and the Falcons. If you're Deshaun Watson's mom, you want your baby home. I mean, I have to think that not only did the Falcons put out the red carpet, but that Mama Watson was like, baby, you come home, you got fresh breakfast every morning, you get to be around family.
Okay.
But look where he's at with the Saints. The Saints, he has an awesome defense to compliment him. This is not, I think people are still thinking of the Saints as in the great culture, the Sean Payton and all that. The Saints, A, may be sold soon from what people have said. Sean Payton's gone.
Yep.
And so the Saints, to me, the appeal there is almost more of, people are acting like it's, oh, it's the Saints. The appeal to me is actually more of the fact that he'd have a defense to back him up rather than like, oh, it's the Saints. Like, they have talent. He's going to a contender.
Right. I think that the Saints have talent for now. Who knows what the talent translates to in 2022? I would think it's probably like an 8 or a 9 win team or something like that. With Deshaun Watson, that could be more. You're making a great point. I mean, what are you really expecting with Dennis Allen as head coach there? You know, I am not expecting an offense like we've seen in years past. And also, I mean, you have to wonder what the hell's going on with Alvin Kamara's situation, because he had something that took place the weekend of the Pro Bowl in Las Vegas that could see him end up getting suspended or on the commissioner's exempt list or dealing with some of the same stuff that, in a way, Deshaun Watson has been. So the Saints have a lot of players. They can offer you those players. Those players would be neat. But the Falcons, I mean, there's a much steeper uphill climb, and all they have really to offer you, and I guess per Aaron Wilson, they would theoretically throw A.J. Terrell, a tall outside cornerback, into a trade. But they're not going to throw Kyle Pitts. That's what the Falcons have. Kyle Pitts is part of the welcome wagon for Deshaun Watson in Atlanta, along with, I guess, T.J. Yates being an assistant coach who used to be an assistant here and, you know, the quarterback here. Chris Olsen's here, too. In Atlanta, too. Used to be in the Texans front office. So I guess those are the perks and part of the welcome wagon that the Falcons rolled out in Flowery Branch, Georgia.
Aaron Wilson says offensive guard Cesar Ruiz would be part of Saints' package to Houston. So we're starting to hear a little bit of who could be included, who wouldn't be included. And again, you've brought up the actual talent and the player versus the draft picks.
Some other guys, Ryan Ramczyk, pretty good tackle. Marcus Davenport, who's been a good pass rusher in the past. A couple other linemen as well. Okay, if you want to surround Davis Mills with some really good offensive linemen and give him the best possible chance to maybe jump in from year one to year two, great. But, you know, I would just, instead of looking at the players that you know about, I think you definitely want to make a trade that's based off of potential. And Atlanta is my choice. I guess I don't know how you close the deal with Deshaun Watson if you're trying to do that. I'm not a closer. Coffee is for closers. I drink a lot of coffee, but I don't exactly know how to close the deal in matters of business. How do you get to the finish line with Deshaun? Because you probably, if he's torn, you probably have some input. I mean, I guess you could use reverse psychology and try to tell him that the Saints are the better option, and then he'll go to the Falcons maybe if he distrusts
you. Breaking news from Adam Schefter. Sorry, got to get to this real quick. The Browns were notified that they're out of the running on the Deshaun Watson deal per team official.
Right, and that's not surprising.
No, and that's what we had talked about. It just always felt like they were a bargaining chip. It never felt like, to me at least, like it was a serious thing.
They screwed this up a little bit then, because now it's not like they were going to get a lot in return for Baker Mayfield. But now that they did this, Baker Mayfield, through his little post that he had out yesterday, has, I think, in a way, taken away some of the value that the Browns would get back in return in a trade. How much that would be, like, third-round pick, fourth-round pick? I don't think it would be that much.
Mike Garafolo tweeting the same thing Adam Schefter tweeted, but adds, the team still views Baker Mayfield as their quarterback going forward. They told Mayfield's agents at the combine they'd only explore top-tier quarterbacks such as Watson.
Okay, we got to pause on this, and I'm going to throw a bit of a curveball here because that does not make any sense based off of what we heard yesterday. And no, I don't know if you could get this audio of Chris Mortensen. Chris Mortensen yesterday on ESPN basically pulled out a lead pipe and just smacked Baker Mayfield in the back of the head. And this is coming from Browns camp, I would imagine, whether it's ownership, the front office, the coaching staff. Here's Chris Mortensen on Baker Mayfield and how the Browns view him.
Told is that it's just not a match emotionally. Whereas Baker Mayfield's passion and emotional leadership was embraced at Oklahoma, and even in the beginning with the Browns, things have changed. And they want what they consider an adult at that position. And that the Baker Mayfield probably is going to be moved. I think Seattle may end up being a candidate, certainly, for Baker Mayfield. Other people may say the Colts. And then who's an adult? Well, listen, Jimmy Garoppolo is scheme-friendly.
So,
and yes, he has a show.
The thing you want to focus on there is Chris Mortensen saying, quote, an adult. And he held up quotation marks there. There's no coming back from that if you're Cleveland.
Totally agree.
What are you doing?
And Chris Mortensen is one that, like, as far as reporters and journos, like, he gets things directly from, he doesn't play games. Like, Chris Mortensen is solid. So if he says that's
except
what the Browns said,
yes.
Ultimately very solid with the Flategate. Shout out to Chris Mortensen, Bob Kravitz, and everybody who broke the story of New England being dirty as always.
I would totally disagree with all
Chris
of that.
Love Chris Mortensen. Shout out.
Witch hunt.
Yeah, Chris Mortensen's the real deal. So
except for in that story.
Especially that story.
Except for that story. Are we going to stab each other to death in the break? Who knows? Lackey on a Thursday.
Yeah. And then there were three. So Cleveland is out of the Deshaun Watson race. Things are about to get awkward with Baker Mayfield.
We haven't heard about Carolina. What the hell's going on with Carolina?
Yeah. I think that's one of those things, too, that maybe the 11th hour swoop in, but it seems like it is Falcons Saints.
And honestly, if I'm Deshaun Watson, if I'm looking at Carolina compared to those two, I think there's a lot less stability at this point in time, which is pretty crazy because, hey, Matt Rhule, going into last year, there was a lot of hype about, hey, what Matt Rhule can do. Hey, what's he going to be able to do with Sam Darnold? How are they going to work together? Because people were still buying into Sam Darnold for some crazy reason. And then obviously we saw what took place last year. Disaster.
All right, coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, we dive more into this Deshaun Watson situation. Plus, we're going to talk about Carlos Correa, where he could end up, and all of the moves from the MLB. That's next.
ESPN 97.5. Vanessa and Gallant continues on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
Shout out to Noah for the theme music. Paul, what are you, what's going on?
My mouse is not working. And as I whined about before the show, I cannot do anything with my thumbs, whether it's on a touchscreen pad or it's on a phone. I'm just very clumsy with them. So yes, there you go.
All right. Hope you get that taken care of. Hope the Astros get Carlos Correa taken care of.
Transition.
Yeah, thanks, TV transition. hey, he's the final piece for some lucky team out there, potentially.
Yeah.
He wants what he wants. He's made it clear what he wants. And Freddie Freeman is donezo. 6 years, $162 million to the Dodgers.
Only one free agent left is Carlos Correa. And I thought it was interesting to note yesterday, Vanessa, when I filled in for Jeremy on the Killer Bees, that we had Ben Verlander on, and Ben Verlander talked with us, and he said, okay, as far as teams left, it doesn't really seem like there's many that we're hearing about, but all of a sudden yesterday, someone floated, hey, don't forget about the Baltimore Orioles offer, which was $300 million for 10 years. Look, I get it. You know, we look at players through the prism of, do they want to win, all these different things. How do you turn that down? 10 years and $300 million, maybe it's not the top-of-the-line market that Francisco Lindor offered that he got.
How much more did he want?
I don't know. It's a good question because, again, we're talking about Baltimore, too. So that's the other factor. Baltimore is just always a losing organization outside of, what was it, like 2014, 2013 or so, where they had a pretty good year. But ultimately, they're in a division where they're screwed. They're competing with New York and Boston every year. Every now and then, Toronto plays very well. Toronto looks geared up pretty well going into this season as well. And the Tampa Bay Rays, too. I mean, they're essentially the American League East version of the Oakland A's, where despite being a bunch of pores, they compete every single season.
Here's where, if you're a free agent, and you have to decide what your priority is. Like, we'll get to Von Miller eventually in the show. Von Miller is in a very unique situation where Von Miller got his bag and is going to a contender. That doesn't happen all the time,
no, right?
Sometimes if you want the insane amount of money that Carlos Correa wants, you're not always going to get to go to the team that you want because of hashtag math and cap space and all of those things. So if money is the most important thing, the Baltimore thing should have been, yes, done.
So you think it would have been done already,
long,
maybe?
Yeah. Okay. But I think, and I do think maybe that's the other Houston athlete who's truly torn.
Torn.
Yeah. Hashtag torn.
Out of faith.
Of what he wants. I mean, look, he loves Houston. His home is in Houston. Mm-hmm. Do you want to go somewhere where you can win another World Series? Or are you looking at, this is my last major contract while I'm in my prime. Let's get the most money, even if it's with Baltimore.
I think if I were him, I would pick Baltimore. And not because of anything that involves winning. I think, look at my own track record and say, I've had some bad luck. Maybe I won't have bad luck with injuries going forward. Last year was pretty nice, but it's always possible that something else pops up again. You've been through it before. You know what can happen. But it's different if you're an athlete. I think a lot of athletes are like, well, I'm back. I'm fine. This was a fluke when they get banged up. I hope that's the way he's looking at it, but he would definitely be taking a pretty massive gamble if there's 10 years and $300 million on the table compared to, say, there's some deal where he signs with the Astros for what, like 1 year, $45 million?
Was that the first team to offer him the 10-year deal?
I think so.
Yeah, in fact, that's what
I think, Vanessa, I remember hearing about a deal that Baltimore had offered. I think that's the only one that's been that far. Because I think Detroit went for $275, $270 over 10 years or something like that, which is, you know, no chump change at all. But it's, man, talking about a difference of $25 million. And we're talking about two teams that aren't contenders that have given these offers. And there hasn't really been a lot of buzz about Correa with either of those two teams. We haven't really seen it. I think there was at one point some social media post about how Correa might have been in Detroit or something like that. But I don't
he
know.
He had lunch at Tiny Boxwoods with AJ Hinch. Oh, never forget.
That's it. Okay. Yeah.
They were here.
Tiny Boxwoods is pretty dope.
I haven't had it.
I went there.
Tiny Boxwoods, sponsor us.
Yes. It's very nice. There's a lot of very attractive people there. That's what I like the most. Yes.
So it's like a real life Bumble.
It's like a real life. Imagine the most bougie brunch place that you possibly can. There's like a garden, Game of Thrones style, that you can walk through when you're, I guess, done eating and take all sorts of pictures in your cute little hats and such. But there's a lot of attractive people there. And I was very hypnotized.
Oh, my God.
Time. Yeah, I know. I can't help it.
Our
what's going on?
Twitch page says we're John and Lance still.
You are John. I'm Lance.
It says I'm John.
What's wrong with that?
And you're Lance. It's okay. We just have people keep commenting on it, guys. Clearly, I'm not John. I'm sorry. I'm not good looking. And I can't golf as well.
I am not as good at evaluating NFL prospects in the coming drafts. Lance is a cool name, though.
So we'll see what happens with Carlos Correa. I do think that we should know at some point soon. I mean, we're in the middle of spring training, and Dusty Baker and James Click are handling the questions as much as they can. But, it's going to take it. I will say this with Carlos, just knowing him a little bit. It is not, I don't think it's a diva thing where he's like, I want to take my time and get the most attention. I actually believe that he is torn.
I do too. I mean, things have been quiet, very quiet on the Carlos Correa front. And, you know, I make the comparison always to a situation that I had covered in Seattle with Russell Wilson, where it never was quiet and he was under contract.
Yeah, true.
I give him a lot of credit for that. Like, there hasn't been things coming out from his court. And you would think too, you know, with Scott Boras in the mix, that there would be noise coming out designed to create demand, but we really haven't heard a lot on that front. So I'm hoping that one of the reasons that Jim Crane, who was supposed to be available to the media, wasn't made available was because there was some sort of conversation that was taking place as they try to finalize a deal. But honestly, it's all speculation at this point. In the meantime, we just have Dusty Baker calling Jeremy Peña, who would be the shortstop for the Astros, I guess, if Carlos Correa does not eventually show up. He's calling him El Niño. El Niño.
What does that mean?
It means, well, based off of Duolingo, it means the boy.
Oh.
Yo soy un niño.
Stop.
Yo soy un hombre.
This is the day where you can appreciate your Irishness, so just embrace that.
I am, but I can also appreciate all languages.
Deshaun Watson is out on Cleveland. Just want to rehash that real quick.
Okay.
If you haven't heard yet, you're listening to Vanessa and Gallant, obviously, duh, on 97.5 and 92.5. You can stream us on Twitch, or you can stream us on the ESPN app, and it is hot in our building.
It is very
warm.
We
should open the door because the... The power's out.
Do people,
shout out to David Gal for having a generator so we can do our show.
Yeah. Is there anyone else here?
I don't think so.
Okay, because then I feel better about opening the door, because my big problem is I'm just so damn loud and I feel like I bother people with the loudness of my voice.
The Browns are out of the race for Deshaun Watson. That's coming first from ESPN and then has been confirmed by a lot of people. Mike Garofolo from NFL Network adding, the Browns, yes, have been informed they're out of the running for Deshaun Watson, a source says. The team still views Baker Mayfield as their quarterback going forward.
Yeah, that's...
They told Mayfield's agents at the combine they'd only explore top-tier quarterbacks such as Watson. So this tells me that Baker, although, yes, you're never going to like it when your team may want to move on, but that tells me that his... Thank you, Noah, for opening the door. That tells me that his breakup text was a little bit dramatic yesterday. That was a little much.
I don't blame him for doing it, though.
It was a bit much.
Well, why was it a bit much?
Because he is smart enough to know Deshaun Watson is an upgrade over him.
I know, but at the same time, if you feel like things are being taken out of your control, this is how you take some control back. Because now you're saying, well, okay, fine. You're trading me? I'm leaving. It's lame, definitely. It's saying, like, oh, you broke up with me? No, actually, I broke up with you.
Yeah.
In my mind.
Hey, dealing with it right now.
5 minutes before.
This is what I tweeted. Don't send the long breakup text until you know it's over and you're 100% sure it's time to move on. Don't send the long, you know, I really enjoyed our time together. This was great. All the best to you on your journey. Don't send that text until you know you're done.
But what if you see a bunch of rumors about how you're gone? I mean, isn't it safe to assume that you're going to be gone? Maybe he has.
But at the combine, per Mike Garofolo, his agents were told that he would only be shipped out for a top quarterback.
Okay.
That's where my mind is. So he and his agents were never under the assumption that he's getting thrown out for Malik Willis. Right? It's like, it's either a top-tier quarterback or we want to keep Baker. So I understand him not loving that, but that's business. And so if he knew that, his post was a little dramatic.
There's no denying it was dramatic. I agree with you on that front. I guess I just don't blame him from the perspective of, okay, look, I did all I could last year, and you're saying things to me, but I'm finding out not from you, I'm finding out from online that you're going to visit with Deshaun Watson, and you're talking about wanting an adult, and you're having Chris Mortensen say that on ESPN when the adult that you are recruiting is involved in 22 allegations of sexual misconduct. Like, who's actually the adult? Is it the mercurial person or is it the creep?
Right. Yeah. Well, and that was, to me, that was poor wording to whoever said that to Chris Mortensen. Because if you're willing to trade for somebody that, really, regardless of how you feel about Deshaun, was at the very least booking massages and exploring some, we'll call them fetishes and kinks, you should probably not say that Baker's not an adult in regards to that.
Right. Look, I mean, he made it very clear, because I don't think Mortensen wanted to be implicated as thinking this. He had air quotations when he said it.
Yeah.
Like that, that is...
So it was said to him.
100%. And I wonder who said it. I really do. It feels like it came from management. I don't think he can go back from this now. And if you feel like you're not appreciated in this place and that maybe somewhere else you would be appreciated, at least for this last year of your contract, then maybe it is in your best interest to go somewhere else. Because is Baker Mayfield guaranteed to be the starter the rest of this coming season in Cleveland? I don't think he is as much in Cleveland as he would be somewhere else, say he were to be traded, I don't know, Seattle or Indianapolis or something like that. Because there's not really another option where... Cleveland, I feel like towards the end of the season, say things go as disappointing as they did this past year, they could pull the plug and put in whoever the backup quarterback is. Say, I'm not sure where Case Keenum is now, but if Case Keenum's still on the team, yeah, you could put Keenum in. You could put somebody else in that theoretically you draft or something like that. So I think that like the writing is on the wall in Cleveland, and you're going to know probably halfway through the season whether or not Baker Mayfield's back. Where in another place, you don't know that.
Coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, Paul's Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, wanted a very interesting candidate for his head coach that I'm sure Texans fans will love. That's coming up.
This is ESPN 97.5. You're listening to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
All right, Tom Brady spent a lot of time in New England, of course, a couple years in Tampa Bay. But when he was in New England, there was somebody that he really liked. And they got into it once on the sideline, and it went viral. And it's somebody that is beloved in Houston. I'm talking, of course, about William O'Brien.
Oh, Willie O'Brien.
On St. Patrick's Day. Yeah.
Another Bostonian who's also Irish.
But what we're figuring out and what we found out, I should say you found out because anything Tom related you watched 10 times.
Oh, yeah. Patriots porn, baby.
Is that he had a favorite coach and that was Bill O'Brien and that he saw him as head coach potential.
And you can see that there's some affinity that Brady had for Bill O'Brien, given that Bill O'Brien was one of the people interviewed for Tom Brady's documentary that's been on ESPN Plus. It was noteworthy that Bill O'Brien just made an appearance in that. Now, how important was Bill O'Brien to Tom Brady? Let's let Albert Breer fill in the details, because there's been some talk, hey, maybe Tom Brady is sick of Bruce Arians in Tampa Bay. What happens if Bruce Arians gets kicked out the door? This is, I guess, who Tom Brady would maybe like to have as his next head coach.
I think the ship sailed on there being a coaching change now, but I think if we're up to him, it probably, at this point, among the guys who are available, Bill O'Brien.
What? He wants Bill O'Brien?
I've told you guys this before. That's who was going to be the head coach. Like, that's who Tom Brady helped to line up as the head coach if he had won the power struggle with Bill Belichick in 2017. If Belichick is out of here, after everything that happened in 17. I'm telling you, Bill O'Brien will be there.
Okay.
Isn't that nuts? I mean, think about it for a second, because if we go back to 2017, that was one of the most chaotic years in Houston Texans history. It starts off, Deshaun Watson comes in as a rookie quarterback after the first game where Tom Savage got sacked like a bazillion times. Everyone's like, why the hell do they start the season with Tom Savage as the starting quarterback? Watson plays pretty well for a couple of games, but then all of a sudden before the Seahawks game, you have that mess where Bob McNair says the inmates running the prison, the team doesn't even want to play against the Seahawks, and then they play against the Seahawks in Seattle, and it's an incredible game, and they barely lose the game. But then Deshaun Watson gets hurt afterwards, and then the season goes down the drain, and towards the end of the year, you were hearing about a power struggle between Bill O'Brien and Rick Smith
right here.
So that was in 2017, at the end of 2017, beginning of 2018. There was a time where I thought O'Brien was gone. And I remember like talking with him. I was like, what do you think's going to happen, dude? And he, at least to me, was saying, I don't know. And
he probably genuinely didn't know. Knowing how the Texans function, that probably wasn't BS.
Well, he clearly had options. We could go down a deep rabbit hole, and I'm not sure how much is allowed to be said on the air about what actually happened between Bill O'Brien, Rick Smith, taking the leave of absence.
There's definitely a lot that cannot be said on air, because I know both parties involved as
good
well.
God. It is. If there's ever a book, that needs to be a book. But that Bill O'Brien in 2017 also might have had the option of going to the New England Patriots in addition to getting full power of the Houston Texans is mind-blowing to me. Mind-blowing. Now, does this change, Vanessa, your opinion of Bill O'Brien in any way? Because I know there's a lot of people on Twitch who have been ragdolling me because of the fact that I don't think O'Brien was a bad coach. I think he was above average, and at times he was good.
We share that. It reinforces what I heard from a guy who's a head college coach right now, and I'm not going to say who it is, but I asked him if he would ever go back to coaching in the NFL. And he said, only if I joined a team that had a absolute monster of a quarterback. And I said, why? I mean, like, obviously everybody wants to join a team that's good, but like you wouldn't go somewhere crappy for the right salary. And he's like, nope, because In college, yeah, like you want a great quarterback, obviously, but you can get by with a great defense. You can get by with a lot of weapons. He said in the NFL, you have no shot at being even viewed as a successful coach unless you have a great quarterback. So to me, it reinforces that because I got to say, if Bill O'Brien takes over with Tom Brady and that Patriots team, does Bill O'Brien have a Super Bowl? I'm not saying he's the same caliber coach as Bill Belichick. I'm not saying that they would have won the same amount of games. Coaching matters. Would there have maybe been some bonehead decisions made, some tempers that flared? Yes. But is Bill O'Brien viewed as a more successful coach if he's a head coach that coaches Tom Brady? You'd better believe it.
Well, you got to wonder what would have happened because 2017 to 2018 is the year that the Patriots made the Super Bowl against the Eagles and they lost. But if you watch that Tom Brady documentary, he acts like that year was the year from hell where no one was having any fun, even though they made it to the Super Bowl, which I'm assuming, okay, that means that that had to do with the power struggle that was going on behind the scenes. I don't know, though, because that 2018 team that won the Super Bowl, like they were far from favorites going into those playoffs where they eventually beat the Rams. So I don't think so. I'm not sure if that Patriots team was going to be winning another Super Bowl without Bill Belichick as head coach. Because you need a defensive-minded team. That team was defensive-minded. I don't know that O'Brien does that.
So let's reframe the question, though. Is Bill O'Brien viewed as a better coach if he goes to the AFC Championship game?
Yes, no doubt about it.
With Tom Brady. No, that's kind of my point.
No doubt about it. But
Bill O'Brien's entire coaching trajectory is changed, most likely, if he gets to be Tom Brady's head coach.
No doubt. And I mean, look, he did have a couple of years with Deshaun Watson. It's important to remember that. And it's not like those two full seasons of Deshaun Watson, the 2018 season, the 2017 season. Wait, hang on. Yeah, the 2018 season, the 2019 season, you know, like those two seasons were pretty good for as far as the Texans go. And then obviously 2020 was a, you know, absolute clown show and everything happened the way that it happened in that season. But I think he would be viewed differently. I think he should be viewed differently, Vanessa, just based off of this perspective. Two great quarterbacks like him. You know, think what you want about Deshaun Watson, but Watson liked him. Think what you want about Tom Brady. Tom Brady liked him. Had Brady once gone to the AFC Championship game with Bill O'Brien, I think that we would still be looking at him sort of the same way that Cowboys fans look at Barry Switzer, who was the head coach for the third Super Bowl that they won. Taking over for Jimmy Johnson. I think a lot of people would be like, okay, well, that team was what it was. But O'Brien would get a little bit more street cred.
Yeah, and Barry Switzer is still looked at favorably.
He's a great college coach, yes.
Right, right. And you know what's interesting is that if you ever watch Troy Aikman's A Football Life episode, he actually talks about how even though Barry Switzer, because Troy went from Oklahoma to UCLA, and Barry had been his head coach at Oklahoma. So everybody thought, okay, Troy will love this. And Troy Aikman actually talks about the fact that there was like a good cop, bad cop dynamic with Jimmy Johnson that he really liked, where he kind of got to be the good cop. Jimmy had to be the bad cop. And he liked that contrast. He felt like with Barry Switzer, he had to be the bad cop because Barry Switzer would let anything fly.
Yes.
So would there have been a little bit of that different dynamic? But at the same time, that almost reminds me of Troy's situation with Barry Switzer because Tom Brady probably would have loved having a head coach that could be the one that is just down, negative if need be, and then Tom Brady gets to be the one that's positive and lifts the guys up.
I think so, but I also think that Brady likes people who just get on him.
Right.
O'Brien clearly did. We've seen Bruce Arians do it in his own different way over the last couple of seasons, but he usually seems to do it publicly as opposed to behind closed doors. That would piss me off if I were in Brady's shoes. Because Belichick did it. Belichick would tear him a new one every single time that he had a game where there was like a couple of mistakes, and he made a big point of it. And I think that's one of the things that Brady got sick of, but he still likes it. I think that's part of what makes Brady who he is. I think he needs that kind of fuel, that motivation consistently. And O'Brien would definitely be able to do it because O'Brien gets mad for 5 minutes and then forgets what he was mad about.
That's a good point.
He's like me.
Your point about Deshaun Watson was a good one too, where people...
He liked O'Brien.
Thought maybe that was manufactured and it wasn't. Like, oh, well, Deshaun's going to support whoever is his head coach. Like, no, I know for a fact Deshaun liked Bill. Was he in favor and did he love DeAndre Hopkins getting traded? No, but he still really liked Bill O'Brien.
I'm sure he hated O'Brien, the general manager. And O'Brien, the general manager, was bleeping awful. Like, just legendarily terrible. And that's always going to be a part of him. But if he had never taken those full reins and if the Texans had done an actual reset where they brought in somebody like, I don't know, Nick Caserio at first that O'Brien saw eye to eye with. Because Brian Gain was also someone he didn't see eye to eye with. You know, that was, I think, they wanted Caserio probably then too, knowing them. And they were like, oh, well, I guess we'll go with Brian Gain. If O'Brien had someone like that, I do wonder. But instead, the Texans were like, we're going to stick with Rick Smith, who had honestly no, I would say, reason to be around. After all the time he had been there, what did he do? Like, what had he gotten the team to? He
was there for 10 years. My Rick was one of the ones that really pushed to draft Deshaun Watson, though.
That's fair. Great. But, I mean, what else had he done, you know? And I'm sure that, hey, finally they pushed to draft one quarterback. Great. But ultimately, too, it's not like he was pushing to draft Patrick Mahomes and they got Patrick Mahomes either. Mahomes is clearly better than Deshaun Watson.
Yep, that's true. All right, coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, we discuss another quarterback, and I mean, this is Paul's favorite.
We talk about
some of the teams that are vying for Deshaun Watson, and that's next.
You gonna answer that?
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
The Affordable Care Act continues to be a complex regulation, and employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help.
Vanessa and Gallant continues on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
Hey, hey, happy St. Pat's Day. We are sweating because the power is out in our
building.
Quite
literally, yes.
Like, literally sweating. Shout out to our boss for having a generator, so at least we can do a show. But I got to tell you, you wouldn't want to be in the room with us right now. We're having a hard time here.
Do I smell?
No, you actually do not smell.
Thank
do
you.
I smell?
No.
Okay, good.
And the way you were saying it, we're having a hard time in here. I was like, oh, is it that? Is it
Paul
worse?
Smells terrible.
But you don't shower, so.
I showered last night.
Oh, did you?
I did.
Okay.
I did. Yeah.
Yay,
it's been a rough week for me going back from Chicago. So we're slowly getting back to actually being an adult on a daily basis. But yeah, instead, I woke up this morning. I usually wake up at 5:30, try to go to the gym. And the last couple of days, I've just been like, nope, we're staying in bed until 8:15.
Paul, how many breakups have you had where both sides try to frame it the way that they want it to be framed? Because I've had a few big breakups, not a lot because I haven't had a lot of relationships, which is a conversation for my therapist. But this kind of small, you know, you see somebody for a couple of months and then you end up having a discussion where you discuss it, it's over, and then everybody's stories get switched.
Yes.
So the guy says, oh, I broke up with her. The girl says, oh, I broke up with him. I've had a couple of those things happen.
People had to explain my side of the story to me because I actually did like this person. And she did not like a lot of elements of me.
Oh.
Mainly me being loud. And
but that's just you. You're loud.
I agree. And she thought that I could control that. And I said, look, I do try to, but you have to remind me. I forget very often. When I get excited, it's just a volcano of
bleh. If she doesn't like that, here's the thing. If she doesn't like that, she doesn't like you.
And that's what my friends told me. Like, you actually broke up with her, Paul, because she's mean. And it was a mutual parting of ways. And we did.
Yeah.
We met and we both talked to each other and we're like, yeah, we're just not a fit for each other.
And those are the best breakups.
Yeah, we're
when
a good
it's
term still.
Mutual and when you both truly feel like it's time to move on. But even if the breakup is mutual, oftentimes things are framed a different way.
Yes.
So you'll hear the guy say, well, I broke up with her. Or you'll hear the girl say, yeah, I just had to dump him. And sometimes it's the exact opposite of what's true. In the case of Russell Wilson and the Seahawks, instead of them both just saying it was mutual, it didn't work out, there was a little bit of a difference in how it was perceived.
Yes, there was. So I covered this for the last year. This was my talking about Deshaun Watson every single day. I feel you guys for having to deal with that for an entire year, and hopefully it'll be done soon. In this situation, Russell Wilson, through various different, I think, media folks, was showing that he was not happy with the Seahawks while talking directly to Pete Carroll's face, apparently saying that things were fine and having a good relationship with him. So there was a two-faced nature with which he operated. But I think if you're going to ask most people who have been covering the Seahawks for a long period of time, myself included, they would tell you that this trade that just took place is something that Russell Wilson initiated. Russell Wilson was asked about that at his press conference yesterday in Denver, and here is what Russ had to say. Okay. Well, I thought we had the audio for that. But anyway, in this situation, Russell Wilson had said that, no, I didn't initiate a trade. And then he goes off on a diatribe about books and about how there's going to be some great stories told down the road. But then,
so Russell says it was mutual.
Russ said it was mutual. Okay. Laughs, chortles, does all the very annoying press conference-y politician things that Russell Wilson does. But the Seahawks, they decided to release a statement. And the statement read as follows. Through three different people, Jody Allen, who's chair of the Seahawks, Pete Carroll, head coach, and John Schneider, the general manager. Jody Allen's message starts off by saying, "While Russell made it clear he wanted this change, blah, blah, blah." Okay, so there she is saying that this was Russ. For Pete Carroll, listen to how he termed this one. Russ's desire in doing something different afforded the organization an opportunity to compete in multiple ways. What a spin job. And then the last one before we get back to Russell Wilson. When it became evident that Russell was interested in playing elsewhere, we used that opportunity to explore the market, allowing us to acquire three quality players, tremendous draft capital, and create salary cap flexibility.
Love it.
I mean, this is a spin job and a half. Here is Russell Wilson when he was asked that same question.
Time for change, and when did that feeling really start for you?
Yeah, I did initiate it. It was definitely mutual along the way. There's definitely been a lot of conversations. It hasn't been I initiated anything, but it is what it is. I'm happy to be here. That's all I know. Obviously, I'm happy about the 10 years I've had, but I think that, we'll have to read about it later. We'll have some fun maybe with my book one day.
Did he say start out by saying, I did initiate it or I didn't?
I didn't.
Okay, see, that's BS.
Right. He totally did.
Because and here's the funny thing. He doesn't have to be fake. He actually could just say, you know what? After a decade there, I thought it was time for something new with me and my family.
I would respect him being honest.
Boom.
And he could bring in, yes, like everyone loves to do, he could bring in family as his shield. I was thinking about me and my family, like your Dom Toretto.
Family.
And Fast and Furious or something like that. So, look, I'll say this, too. The Seahawks have lied directly to my face before. Pete Carroll has lied to me. Like, I know this. Like, Pete's a nice guy, but Pete does not always tell the truth when you ask him a question. And in this situation, I mean, there's clearly a spin job going on. But if you're asking me to believe, one, Russell Wilson, the guy who... will never say anything in that book that would make him look like it's bad.
Right.
Who will always be in politician mode. Do I believe him or do I believe the Seahawks? I 100% believe the Seahawks.
Even though Pete Carroll has lied to you.
Oh, yes. Yes, 100%. Because this was going on for a while. And you know why? Also, because through all of the leaks and rumors and sources that were coming out, Pete Carroll and John Schneider were basically like, yeah, it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter.
Right.
But they kept coming. And they were coming from Russell Wilson's agent, if not from Russell Wilson himself.
You do have cases where people are honest. And I think about the franchise you grew up watching, where it was pretty transparent. Tom Brady wanted to go somewhere else.
Yes.
Bill Belichick.
At the end.
Towards the end, it was known.
They acted like it wasn't a big deal, though, for a couple of years, too. And you know, I think you'd have to, in a way, to keep the rest
of
the locker room happy.
That's logic. Nobody's going to come out and say, hey, by the way, we're thinking this is going to happen within the next 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just logic.
I mean, even the Texans didn't do that at first with Deshaun Watson.
The split, though, was pretty. It seemed mutual. Both sides seemed to be, you know, hey, we just moved on, et cetera, et cetera.
I just hate how fake he is. I really do. It drives me crazy. I can't stand this.
I think he seems nice, but definitely, as somebody that grew up going to very, very conservative churches three times a week, I can spot the religious, goofy, nice guy, but isn't totally genuine. I can spot him from a mile away. They're not always bad guys. Very important to note. Oftentimes, faithful husbands, nice guys, goofballs, but are you going to get the most genuine answers from them? No.
Thank you very much for wording it that way, because I do sound like I am saying Russell Wilson is this giant jabroni D-bag.
No,
I'm not. I just hate how fake he is. It drives me absolutely crazy. And it's just this person that we see publicly at press conferences, but I can't stand it.
You know who Russell Wilson is?
Who?
When somebody says, how are you? And he says, living the dream. Russell Wilson is living the dream, guy.
Oh, no. I have a friend like that.
I'm from the Midwest. I know every white Midwest man
I gotta
know
say,
like that.
I do love him. He is a
Is
wonderful,
it Friday yet?
He is a wonderful person, and he legitimately said, living the dream all the time. I mean, I'm surprised he didn't trademark it.
Daylight savings happens. He comes into the office. Man, that extra hour. Exhausted.
Yeah. The thing with Wilson, it's don't you get annoyed by some of these athletes who are so brand conscious? Because that's Russ. Russ wants to be Tom Brady and Gisele Bündchen with his wife.
True.
Ciara. Yeah. Ciara. And the reality is...
My goodies.
Is that a song by her?
My goodies, not my goodies.
Okay.
Yes!
I wouldn't know. I refuse to listen.
I bet you want my body.
Russell Wilson does. You know what? I have heard that one. Okay, so she's sung a legit banger before. Don't sing it too loud.
Wait, a legit banger? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, she has bangers.
Well, listen, I wouldn't know. I figured, you know, that maybe...
You were just singing Torn by Natalie at whatever.
Yeah. Natalie Imbruglia.
My goodies.
You're going to turn on too many of our listeners. You need to calm down.
Von Miller turned on by all the money he got. Wow.
That was well
TV
done.
TV transition.
You're doing a great job.
Thank you. Von Miller got
just dabbed. We're going to forget about that.
Year deal for 120 milli. It's a lot of cash. And here's the thing. We were talking about this earlier with Carlos Correa. Usually you can't have it all. You can't go to a great team that already has great players, get the contract you want, get the money you want, get the amount of years you want. Von Miller has been in very specific situations where he has set himself up to go get pretty great amount of money, right? Mm-hmm. And go to teams that are going to win.
He's had two $100 million contracts over his career, and that's the first defensive player in NFL history to do that. Now, again, important to remember, when you see a contract that's put out, the agents are telling the reporters to paint it in the rosiest of lights, and they're not telling all the details. 6 years, $120 million. In reality, and I think this was from Tom Pelissero, I could be wrong, it's 2 years for $32 million, which makes a lot more sense. Because Von Miller's 33 years old, and Miller, before leaving the Broncos and joining the Rams last year, I don't think he looked like Von Miller. Now, when he was on the Rams, he did. But when he was on that Broncos team, he did not look like the same Von Miller of old. Good for him getting that contract. I would say, though, 33 years old, is he going to be able to, now that he's here, is he going to be able to change things? Is he going to be able to make a massive difference for the Bills? I don't know.
You don't think he can be that missing piece to the defensive front that makes them the AFC favorites? Because I think he can be, if he's in Von Miller mode.
It's important to have great pass rushers. Is he, though, an Aaron Donald type who is going to completely obliterate a Patrick Mahomes or any of the other great quarterbacks in the league? I don't know. I mean, because he's a little older, I guess I wonder about those quarterbacks who can get outside the pocket. And Mahomes is the guy that you have to beat. Mahomes, and we know how easy Mahomes makes it look. I've said this a million times. Whenever Mahomes is scrambling, the people chasing him, it looks like Vladimir Putin playing hockey against a bunch of other people. And if you've ever watched Vladimir Putin play hockey, everyone like stands back like 20 feet from him because they don't want to touch him. And that's how he scores 6 goals in every single game that he plays in. Old Pooty.
Oh, Pooty.
Did you see also in one of those games that he played in, someone left the rug on the ice?
No.
That was supposed to be where Putin would get off and walk onto it. And Putin skated over it and he just face planted. It's pretty funny.
I need to see that video. Coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, we're not discussing
Ukraine.
Vladimir Putin anymore.
More takes on Ukraine next.
We're discussing Deshaun
World
Watson.
War III?
The latest, there is news, and you'll want to hear it. That's next.
ESPN 97.5.